Hello, hello, and welcome back. I'm your host Kerim, and you are listening to Euroneuro, the Eurovision Song Contest show on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting from the University of British Columbia, which is situated on the traditional, ancestral, and stolen territories of the Hunka medium-speaking Musqueam people. This is a big moment because we have reached the 20th episode of Euroneuro, where we are going backwards in recapping the Eurovision Song Contest year by year. In this episode, we will be talking about Eurovision 2005. This is a highly political edition of Eurovision, and unlike most others, because most Eurovisions are highly political, this one is the one where the contest as a whole is very vocally political. In this episode, we will talk why, and if you have been following Euroneuro or the Eurovision itself, it won't come as a surprise to you. There are two major political events that took place in the second half of 2004, and they got reflected on the Eurovision stage in 2005. We will talk about these two, but before that, let's take a look at the overview of Eurovision 2005. Eurovision 2005 took place in Kiev, Ukraine, following the country's win in 2004 with Ruslana and her song Wild Dances, which was the first of three wins of Ukraine, with the later two coming in 2016 and 2002, both following annexation of and invasion of its territories by Russia. 2005 was a big year for Eastern European countries, with being hosted by Ukraine, Bulgaria and Moldova participating in Eurovision for the first time, and Greece winning. This was also a year with a lot of folkloric tunes from Balkan countries, which made it a delight to rewatch for me. I also remembered how backing vocals had to sing live, which is a very recent rule to be overturned by only making the lead vocal necessary, for the lead vocal to sing live. I definitely liked it better when all the voices were live on stage. Anyways, 2005 was, I think, also marked by the heavy use of drums, which might have been influenced by the battle horns of Ruslana in 2004, but I'm not sure. There are just a lot of songs that included drums, and in Moldova's entry particularly, which we will hear later in the episode, the drum is played by a grandmother. Anyway, Greece won the competition for the first time in 2005 with Elena Paparizou, the Greek-Swedish singer, and her super popular, very widespread song, My Number One. I'm sure most of you have heard this song. It was very popular during my childhood, but when I was a child, I didn't know it was a Eurovision Song Contest, as I started following the Eurovision live in 2006, during the victory of Finland. So let's hear the winning song of Eurovision Song Contest 2005, and let's open the episode with that. And we will hear My Number One by Elena Paparizou representing Greece.
You're my lover, undercover. You're my sacred passion and I have no other. You're delicious, so capricious. Thank you.
Welcome back everyone, you are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We've just heard the winner of Eurovision 2005, the edition about which we are talking in this episode, My Number One by Elena Paparizou. Now I will move on to talking about the political aspect of Eurovision as usual. And in 2005, one of the two political events that impacted the contest was the Orange Revolution in Ukraine. It is the name given to massive protests in the Maidan, the main square of Ukrainian capital Kiev, that was sparked by the presidential runoff elections in 2004. I will be very carefully giving a timeline here. So, the presidential election of 2004 saw the end of the rule by Leonid Kuchma, which was the second president of Ukraine following the dissolution of Soviet Union. Leonid Kuchma's era was marked by political and financial corruption and massive scandals, one of them being the murder of the journalist Georgi Gongadze and the cassette scandal. From 1998 to 2000, Leonid Kuchma's bodyguard, Mykola Melnichenko, was allegedly eavesdropping Kuchma's office and later publishing the recordings. The release of the tapes, dubbed the cassette scandal, supposedly reveals Kuchma's numerous crimes, and in particular was his approving the sale of radar system to Saddam Hussein and ordering the death of journalist Georgi Gongadze. In September 2000, Gongadze disappeared and his corpse was found mutilated on November 3rd, 2000. Later that November, opposition politician, the leader of the Social Party of Ukraine, Oleksandr Moroz, publicized the tape recordings implicating Kuchma in Gongadze's murder. So, in the elections in 2004, there were two main candidates, the pro-European, pro-Western candidate Yushchenko, pro-European candidate Viktor Yushchenko and the pro-Russian candidate Viktor Yanukovych. Viktor Yanukovych eventually lost the elections. I will talk about the process. But he then came to power later in 2010, if I remember correctly, or 2010 or 11. I don't remember correctly. Anyways, and he was the president when the massive protest then took the Maidan of Kiev again in 2014. So, in 2004, the presidential race was mainly between the two candidates, but there were other candidates too in the first round, with Oleksandr Moroz, the leader of Social Party of Ukraine, and also Communist Party of Ukraine's leader, who was Petro Simonenko, yes. But in the first round, the two main candidates, Yushchenko and Yanukovych, took majority of the votes, with both of them having more than 40% of the votes, and only 180,000 votes separating them. And Viktor Yushchenko was leading. But since none of the candidates received more than 50% of the votes, there was a runoff election. In the runoff election, the expectations were Yushchenko to win, because all the minor candidates in the first round, including Moroz of Socialist Party of Ukraine and Simonenko of Communist Party of Ukraine, supporting Yushchenko. However, in the initial results, the pro-Russian leader Viktor Yanukovych was declared the winner. This resulted in massive protests. And the people of Ukraine took to the streets in numbers that are allegedly in millions, and they demanded the overruling of the election results. In the nationwide protest succeeded when the results of the original runoff were annulled, and the revote was ordered by Ukraine's Supreme Court for December 26, 2004. And in the second runoff election, the final results showed a clear victory for Yushchenko, who received about 52% of the vote, compared to Yanukovych, 44%. And Yushchenko was declared the official winner with his inauguration on January 23rd in 2005, which was when the Orange Revolution ended. The name of the revolution comes from the campaign color of Yushchenko, orange. And yeah, this process was heavily implicated in the stage of the Eurovision, with Norway paying tribute by tying an orange banner to the microphone, the promotional images before each country's performance. The postcard of Ukraine included the band members, the representative band members, and many other people out on the streets during the protests. And Ukraine song was definitely a tribute to the protests, with the name Razom Nas Bahato, meaning together we are many. And this is a very clear reference and with many resemblances to a very famous Chilean protest song by Sergio Ortega, if I remember correctly, but most importantly by the band Quilapayun. El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido, meaning the people united will never be defeated. And the Ukrainian song was a very clear reference to that, and the staging too, with the backing dancers wearing handcuffs and the lead vocal wearing a Che Guevara t-shirt. The song was mainly in Ukraine, but the lyrics also contained a few words in Polish, German, Spanish, Czech, French, and Russian. Also, a Museum of Orange Revolution was opened for Eurovision 2005, with the country hoping a modest boost in its campaign to become a part of European Union, with people relating to Ukraine's struggle for a pro-European governance. Yeah. So even though there were a lot of socialist figures or left-wing figures in the protests, like for example Socialist Party and the Communist Party backing the or supporting the protest, and the Che Guevara t-shirt of the lead singer of Ukraine's representative in Eurovision 2005, and the clear reference to the well-known protest song El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido. Unfortunately, the protest, just like the ones in 2014 and the anti-invasion movement in 2022, had a lot of neo-fascist elements, with the group such as let me quickly double check. The Ukraine's people, Ukrainian National Assembly, dash Ukraine's People's Self-Defense, UNA-UNSO, taking leading figures in the protest. These groups encompass several key elements like Ukrainian nationalism, anti-communism, and UNA-UNSO being a paramilitary group, and right-wing extremism. I also want to point out that the later elected Speaker of the Parliament of Ukraine, Andriy Paruby, who became an Speaker of the Parliament under the rule of Viktor Yushchenko, who became the president as a result of the Orange Revolution protests, was a founder of the Ukrainian Patriot, which is a paramilitary group, also the founder of Social Nationalist Party, which was a neo-Nazi party, and who was also named as the commander of the militia groups in the Maidan. He first became the National Security and Defense Council, head of the National Security and Defense Council, and he also became the Speaker of the Parliament, as I said before. And in 2004, he was in the team of Viktor Yushchenko, as part of his team, he led directed or let me say pushed Viktor Yushchenko to give the title of national hero to Stepan Bandera, who was a collaborator of Nazis during the World War II in Ukraine. And Roman Shuhevich, who was the head commander of Ukraine. Rebels Army. I'm translating from another language, so that's why I'm talking slowly. I apologize for that. So what I mean by that, those is that although Orange Revolution might seem like people demanding their votes to be counted or their elections to be held fairly, it is like most protests in Ukraine led by a lot of neo-fascist far-right movements, and it is backed by the Western governments on a superficially anti-dictatorship or anti-Russian, anti-Putin dictatorship sentiments, but underlyingly anti-communist motives, through anti-communist motives. So this was the biggest event that heavily reflected on the Eurovision stage. And as a result of this Orange Revolution, although it was sparked by corruptions in the government, it did not fundamentally alter the neoliberal economic policies that perpetuate inequality and exploitation, and it was difficult for it to do so, having being backed by European liberalism. And Yushchenko's government, despite its promises, largely continued the same capitalist trajectory and kept on privatizations and austerity measures, which disproportionately affected the working class. And this ended up having Yushchenko lose the power in the next elections. So speaking of all these, let's hear the Ukrainian song that was a reflection of the Orange Revolution in Eurovision 2005. I'll just go through my notes one last time to see if I missed something about this. The original song was entirely in Ukrainian, the original song of Ukraine's entry, original song of Ukraine in Eurovision 2005, and was written specifically to refer to the 2004 presidential election, even going so far as to name presidential candidate Viktor Yushchenko by name. In the original lyrics, it says Viktor Yushchenko is our president. But as a requirement of the song contest rules forbidding direct political references, lyrics mentioning Yushchenko were removed. So we will hear this song, Razomnat Bahato, by Green Jolly, which represented Ukraine in Eurovision 2005. However, I'm going to play the play both the original version. No, I'm not gonna do that. Sorry, I'm just going to play the Eurovision version of Ukraine's entry, and I'm going to play the live version, and I will try to do so throughout this episode, because as I said before, I really liked how all the vocals were live on stage. So I again talk too much after announcing the song. Let's hear Radomnas Bahato by Green Jolly representing Ukraine in Eurovision 2005.
In Our Gayborhood is a journey through the communities of BC, meeting our neighbors who work towards a world where everyone can be proud of who they are. In our first season, get to know the Touche L'Ojibwetikwa advocates, educators, and students who help our schools grow into spaces where everyone can belong. Just like our neighborhoods, each episode is filled with the spirit of care, the energy of activism, and the warmth of community. Join us in Our Gayborhood, premiering June 14th at the Queer Arts Festival.
The Bite Kitchen welcomes you to Access Night, a weekly event in the shop offering free tool rentals for queer and trans folks, with the purpose being to make bike mechanics more inviting and accessible to folks traditionally excluded from the industry. Visit the Bite Kitchen on Wednesdays from 6:15 to 9 p.m., located in the basement of the Life Building. We hope to see you there.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. In this episode, we are talking about Eurovision 2005, and right before the break, we heard Ukrainian song Radom Nasbahato, which was about the Orange Revolution that took place in Ukraine in 2004. Moving on, the second political event that was, or the political concept, let me say, that was implicated on the Eurovision stage in 2005 was U.S. school shootings. Russia's entry, which was Russia's entry, was directly criticizing the school shootings or the permission to have guns or the lack of gun control in the USA, which is fair to address this. But this came right after another school shooting, let me say, in Russia, that took place in Russia. This was not the similar shooting that takes place in USA, because this was a part of a hostage crisis. On September 1st, 2004, a hostage crisis took place in Chechnya region of which is part of a which is subject to a separatist movement. So the separatist movement of the Chechen separatist movement roots way back to the invasion of Russia of the Caucasus region, and this invasion started hundreds of years ago, and it involves a genocide of the local indigenous people of Circassians. Along with the Circassians, the Chechen and Ingush people of the Caucasia were also subjected to heavy ethnic cleansings and genocide. So very long-lasting and rooted problem. So the Chechen separatist movement is often heavily armed, and I'll refer to my notes here. Russia had carried out a lot of armed attacks and other means to seize power in the region of Chechenistan. So, September 1st, 2004, a separatist group, a Chechen separatist group, took a lot of kids and their families hostage in a school in Beslan. Beslan is a town in North Ossetia, an autonomous republic in the North Caucasus region of Russia. And the hostage takers were members of a group called Riyadus Salihin, sent by the Chechen warlord Shamil Basayev, who took responsibility for the hostage taking. For 3 days, there were negotiations about releasing of the hostages. However, on day three, on September 3rd, 2004, following an explosion in the school, the Russian army entered the school with tanks and artillery. And even though both sides blame each other for the explosion that sparked the attack of the Russian forces, the witnesses say explosion was caused by a shooting of a hostage taker who is standing on an explosive trap by a Russian sniper. So, following the explosion, there was a massive attack by the armed forces of Russia on the school, and this resulted in the death of 334 people, including 186 children. So in most of the cases of hostage deaths, this also should be blamed on the attacking force, which is almost always a government force or the state force, as we have also witnessed in the very recent, as we have also been witnessing during for the last almost 10 months in Palestine. The current war in Gaza started by the attacks of started with the attacks by the Palestine Liberation Movement, and a lot of hostages were taken on October 7th, and there have been a lot of news regarding the deaths of these hostages by the massive carpet bombing of Israeli forces. So as the occupying force, Israel should be blamed for this, just like back then the again occupying forces of Russia in Chechenistan should be blamed for the deaths of these hostages. This is not a first for Russia, and in 2002 another hostage crisis was resulted in the death of many hostages by chemical attacks by Russia in a theater in Moscow. So right after this hostage massacre in Beslan, the Russian entry for Eurovision 2005 was announced, and it was announced to be no one let me double check. Nobody Hurt No One by Natalia Podolskaya, and the lyrics directly refer to the school shootings in America, verses like "Hello, sweet America, where did our dream disappear? Look at little Erica, all she learns today is fear. You deny the truth, you just having fun till your child will shoot your gun." So we will hear this, one of the most blatant politically referring one of the most blatant songs of Eurovision Song Contest, specifically referring to a political context, and I'll be back right after that. We'll now hear the representative of Russia in Eurovision 2005, Natalia Podolskaya, with her song "Nobody Hurt No One." Look how little Erica, all she wants today is to fear.
interested in maintaining a healthy lifestyle during midterms, finals, or any time throughout the year? Then Freshii has you covered. Stop in today at Freshii on Westbrook Mall and order one burrito, salad, or bowl and get the second for free. Buy one, get one for free. Freshii on Westbrook Mall is your one-stop food as fuel choice for people on the move. Freshii. Eat. Energize.
Randophobic is best thought of as an introversal jukebox which has no concept of genre, style, political boundaries, or even space-time relevance. But it does know good sounds from bad. Lately, the program has been focused on Philip Random's All Vinyl Countdown plus Apocalypse, the 1111th greatest records you probably haven't heard. And we're not afraid of noise. Randophobic, every Saturday at 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. Before the break, we heard the Russian song for Eurovision 2005, Nobody Heard No One by Natalia Podolskaya, which was a song that had lyrics about school shootings in America, and this song was selected right after the Beslan hostage massacre, which included death of 186 school children in a school in Beslan, North Ossetia, following the Russian army's armed interference during a hostage crisis, which we have talked about right before the song. Moving on, I will play some songs that I liked from Eurovision 2005, and I will start with two songs, Moldova by Moldova and Serbia. Moldova's entry, Bunica Batetoba, meaning the grandmother beats the drum, is a song by Zdopšidup. Zdopšidup is a Eurovision legend, participating three times and qualifying for the final three times in 2005, 2011 with the song Solaki, and in 2022. Yes, in 2022 with the song Trenuletul, which they sang together with Advaho Brothers. Both of these two songs we have played in our episodes covering the respective years, corresponding years. And now I will complete the trilogy by playing the first ever song by Moldova in Eurovision Song Contest in 2005. In Eurovision 2005... Moldova made their debut with Zdopšidup, and they finished in the grand final. They finished sixth, scoring a very good result in their first ever entry. Following that, I will play Serbia and Montenegro's entries. The country wasn't divided yet. This is a song called Zovijek Moja, meaning Zovijek Moja, meaning I forgot the English translation for that. I need to check that again. Forever Mine, yes. This is an entry by the Montenegrin boy band called No Name. And it is quite a nationalistic entry too, by the way, with the song the song's intro resembling the unofficial anthem of the Liberal Party of Montenegro. And during the selection process, the song scored all of its votes from the Montenegrin jury and not from the Serbian jury. I like these two songs, Moldovan and Serbian entry. The Serbian entry finished seventh in the grand final. Serbian and Montenegro entry finished seventh in the grand final. Now we will hear those two songs back to back. Bunica Batetoba by Moldova, represented by Zdopšidup, and Zovijek Moja by No Name, representing Serbia and Montenegro.
It's a jump up jungle, looking like a brave beast. Never seen that here. When you cap the drama, big mallet in the hand, I have to say be. She's screaming like Hulk, it's my own big mama. When you cap the drama, for Jesus, let me meet black man, give me some more. Chicky, the chicky, we wanna dance now. We are turning into hammers, we can read them out.
troika. Dicimi tu surani va del porto meu
Welcome back everyone, you are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and you are listening to Euronero, the Eurovision Song Contest show CITR. And we've just heard the Moldovan and Serbia and Montenegro entries Bunika Batetoba by Zup Shizup and Zoviek Moja by No Name respectively. Closing on the end of our episode, I will play two songs by two returning artists, first one being Selma, representing Iceland. Selma represented Iceland for the first time in 1999 with her song All Out of Luck, and her song was a pre-contest favorite with the bookmakers. However, she lost the title to Sweden, represented by Charlotte Nilsson. And in 2005, she was again one of the favorites to win the contest prior to the contest with her song If I Had Your Love, but very surprisingly, Selma failed to qualify for the grand final. Now we will hear Iceland's Eurovision entry for 2005, If I Had Your Love by Selma. Welcome back, everyone. You are on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, and you are listening to Euro on Euro, the Eurovision Song Contest show of CITR. We have been talking about Eurovision 2005 in this episode, and we've just heard one of the best songs that failed to qualify to the grand final that year, If I Had Your Love by Selma, representing Iceland. I will close the show with, as I usually do, with a very nice ballad that I really like from Eurovision 2005. And this song is by Kiara, representing Malta. Kiara, just like Selma, is also a previous representative, not unfamiliar to the Eurovision stage. She represented Malta in 1999 and came in third, which was a joint best result for Malta with a previous third place coming in 1992. And in Eurovision 2005, Kiara with her song Angel came in second, and it was again a joint best result, this time with Eurovision 2000, this time the other second place of Malta coming in Eurovision 2002. This is a very nice ballad that I really liked, and we will close the show with this song, and I hope to be with you in our next episode covering Eurovision 2004, and until then, take care and goodbye with Malta's Eurovision 2005 entry, Angel by Kiara.